1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. As Paul started teaching about spiritual gifts in chapter 12, he inserted the most important aspect of spiritual gifts, and that is that they would be driven by love. Chapter 13, he spends a whole chapter, 13 verses, on telling how important it is that we have love, and that love is to be the driving force behind our gifts. The reason why we use these gifts and how we use them is to be love. Love is the driving factor. After teaching them the importance of love, he then picks up again on the issue of the gifts and their importance. Look at verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Pursue means to hasten, to run after, to press on, or to be energized in your love for your brothers or sisters in Christ. Pursue that love. Run with all your might. Give it all that you have. Have that love. The interesting thing when you really think about when Paul says that, and he uses these words, and I wish that our English words, we usually have to use an adjective in order for us or an adverb in order for us to really understand the emphasis that is placed on things. So we may say something like, love with all your heart. Well, the Greek word just uses the word pursue, and that word pursue just means to do with everything that you have. Love, let love be the factor. And when you look at the Corinthian church didn't have the love. It was all about themselves. Love, when you look at love, and we covered this a little bit in the Sunday school, but when you look at the fact that God gave the Ten Commandments, what did Jesus say about the Ten Commandments? That they are all wrapped up in these two things, and what is that? That we love God with all our heart, we love our brothers and sisters, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. And love has always been the issue. And the Ten Commandments, when you look at the Ten Commandments, it's either dealing with our relationship with God or it's dealing with our relationships with our fellow man. And when we're coveting our neighbor's wife or we're stealing or we're lying, we're not loving or showing love toward another person. When we're forsaking the assembly or we don't put that day for God or we use the Lord's name in vain, we're not showing that love, that reverence for God. It's always been love. Hasten, pursue it with everything you have. And desire spiritual gifts means to be dedicated. I said before that no one can choose what gift they get. The Holy Spirit gives you the gift. So it's not a desire in the sense. And some people say, well, I think that gifts can be desired and at some point, you know, maybe there are some gifts that God gives later on to people as they desire or they pray for them. And I don't believe that's the case at all. And, you know, I just don't believe that. But to desire means to be dedicated. Whatever the gift may be is really what he's saying. If that person has that gift of prophecy, desire that gift. Not that you have that gift. He's trying to say, I don't want you to be envious of people who speak in tongues as if you had that gift. So would it make any sense for him to say, desire the more spiritual gifts and prophesy? So pray that you can prophesy and be like all those who have the gift of prophecy. It doesn't make any sense. That's not what he's saying. He's saying desire those things. If you really love one another, then desire the gift that's going to edify. All gifts edify, but desire the ones that are going to be most profitable, most edifying to the church as a whole. And that's really what Paul is saying. Desire the spiritual. Desire those things that are truly the work of the Holy Spirit. And tongues at the time was a work of the Holy Spirit. When God, whatever God is active in your life, however he's active in your life, praise God for that. And when the church is organized and it's working and it's flowing and it's the relationships are right and everything's going on, that's an act of God. Why? Because you are filled with the Spirit of God. You can't love one another unless you love God. It's impossible. So it's an act of God. Our gifts are given for the edification of the whole. And when that happens, we are desiring, we are dedicated to these gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us to work as a whole. But especially that you may prophesy. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially prophecy. The word prophecy just means to proclaim spiritual truth, something that was inspired. You see, at the time that the New Testament was being written, it wasn't finished until 95 AD. So at the time that the New Testament was being written and the church was being formed, the early stages of the church, they had prophets. How this all worked was God gave a revelation. God gave everybody a gift for the edifying of that church. So churches had prophets. And God would speak to this person because they didn't have the Bible to open up. And he would speak to this person, and this person would reveal spiritual truths that God would have to say. So how do we function as a church? We don't have the scriptures to say it, so God would give them, this is how I want it to be done. This is the place of a man. This is the place of a woman. This is how a marriage is supposed to be. This is how you're to raise your children. This is how you're to treat your employees. This is how you're to treat your employers. And this is what I want you to do with the Great Commission, and this is how you accomplish it. These are all things that we didn't have the completed Bible. They didn't. So they had prophets. Today it's a little different. It's in the same sense. We have the completed word. There's nothing more that we say today or nothing more that they said in that day than we have right now. Because God has given us the completed word. So we proclaim the inspired word, just like they were inspired. Special revelation, same thing. We just don't receive it as in, oh, I just had a thought from God. In that sense. But they had prophets in those days, and those prophets would proclaim the good news, the word of God, and the church would be edified. Look at verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. The gift of tongues, no one understood it. You're speaking mysteries, not mysteries in the sense that I'm going to tell you something that we don't already know. He's saying you're speaking mysteries because no one can understand it, because no one speaks the language you're speaking that you don't even know yourself. So the only one who knows what you're saying is God. Now here's the question. Did God give us a gift to minister to God? Does God need to grow to the full stature of Christ? Isn't that why our gifts are given? To edify and to help build up to the full stature of Christ. Does God need to be edified? No. So he didn't give us the gift to edify God. What did he give us the gift for? We saw it. Chapter 12, verse 7. The purpose of the gifts was to edify the church. Look at verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. You know, I really love to study the Word of God in detail, because it really gives you a chance to see the flow of thought in Scripture. When you look at the passage and you say, okay, the context of this spiritual gift topic starts in chapter 12 and ends in chapter 14. So he starts in chapter 12 and he gives you the gifts and he says, hey, I want you to understand the purpose of the gifts and how they're to be used. And then he says, you know, but I want you to understand the driving factor behind it, and that is love. He breaks into it and he says, between the two parts, 12 and 14, that really talks about gifts, he says, I want you to understand, and it's not a gift, I want you to understand the importance of love. And that's what he does, because love is the driving force behind the spiritual gifts. And he says, I want you to understand, I love to tear apart the scriptures and really see the thought process of what's going on with the writers at the time. Chapter 13 deals with love. And here Paul deals with prophecy, and that the fact is that prophecies edify. The word edify means to build up. But this is what I also found about the word prophecy. It also carries the idea of increasing the potential of someone. It also carries the idea of increasing the potential of someone. What's the potential? What is our potential? To become more like Jesus Christ. So when we build up, we're helping others become more like Christ. And that's the potential. We all have that potential. And we need each other to do that. When considering that the purpose of the church is to help build one another up to the full stature of Christ, then I understand why the gift of prophecy is so important. But prophecy also exhorts. It causes someone to be encouraged. Peter did this when he wrote his first book. The trials and tribulations, the fiery trials, yeah, they're tough. But keep focused on the promise of eternal life. Keep focused on that eternal inheritance. Prophecy also comforts. It gives reassurance. I don't know about you, but when I look in the world around offerings that's taken place, and you know they have the doomsday thing, and they say that there's comets and asteroids that are coming so close to Earth, and we could all be destroyed at one time. And you know what? The Bible does say that the heavens and the earth groan because of the original sin, because Adam sinned. That death comes to everyone because of Adam's sin. It doesn't matter if you're still in the womb, didn't have time to sin that baby, didn't have time to sin itself, but it dies because of Adam's sin. The whole world groans. And I'm comforted to know that Romans says that the things that we experience now, the pains and the sufferings, don't compare with the things to come, with the glories to come. That's comforting. The great apostle Paul struggled in his walk with Christ. Romans chapter 7 says, the things that I wish not to do, those things I do, and the things that I wish to do, those things I don't do. And I sit there and I say, you know, praise God that someone like Paul had the humility to write something like that in his word so that I didn't think I was the only oddball in the Christian realm. That I was the only one that struggled and just couldn't seem to win the battle over certain sins that I just hate about myself, and I'm striving to do these things and I just continue to fail. And I'm comforted when I read things in the scriptures that the Bible says Paul struggled too. And these prophets at the time were saying, hey, look, this is the words of comfort. These are the words of exhortation. I want you to understand you're not alone. This is what's expected. These are the things that we can be encouraged by. Let us consider the very beginning of the church. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Prophecy exhorts, it comforts, and it's so important that we understand the importance of the gift. Look at chapter 2, verses 5 through 13, and I'm just going to make broad statements over these large sections, and I'm not going to read them. But here in chapter 2, verse 5, 13, the apostles and those with him started speaking in tongues. And this is at the time of the Pentecost. So they start speaking in tongues, and then you have people saying, hey, what could this possibly be? I hear these people speaking in my language. Some people mocked them and said, oh, they're drunk. So then Peter, you see in verses chapter 14 through 36, stands up and he preaches his first sermon. And he says, these people aren't drunk. And he says, you know that Joel wrote of this situation, and he gives them the teachings on Joel. And then he says in verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. That was the prophesying. And he was proclaiming God's special message. And again, he didn't have the Bible to open it up. This was special revelation. But look at verse 27. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Look at Peter's response in verse 28. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter first prophesied. And through this prophesying, he's continuing to prophesy. He hasn't stopped. Only I stopped because I'm trying to break it down for us. But he's continuing to go on. But what Peter just did there was he was edifying and exhorting through the proclaiming of God's word. He was encouraging them what to do. Men and brethren, repent. Well, first he says, this Jesus you have crucified. Brethren, what shall we do? And then he exhorts them. He encourages them. Repent. Repent. Look at verses 40 through 47, and these I will read. Here's our comfort. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were gathered and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Do you see the importance of prophecy? This is how it edifies. and how it benefits others. The early church understood it. He proclaimed the truth of the matter, and that's your sinners. Bad news. This isn't good news. This isn't edifying. This isn't encouraging. But it had a response. And then when they responded, they asked the question, what shall we do? Here's the comfort. Repent. Every single one of you for the remission of sin. You'll be forgiven of your sins. Is that comforting? Tongues does not edify. Prophecy edifies. And we see that with Peter when he prophesied his first sermon in Acts chapter 2, when the beginning of the church came. We see the whole process. We see the result of prophecy. We saw that tongues had nothing to do with that edification. But the pure preaching through prophecy, the gift of prophecy, is what was edifying and comforting. Look at verse 4. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Last week we looked at the purpose of gifts and that the purpose of the gifts were for the purpose of edifying one another, the church. And I mentioned it earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Gifts were given for the profit of all. I've heard others say of this verse, speaking in tongues edifies. And God wants us to edify ourselves, and this is the verse that tells us we're supposed to edify ourselves, because tongues, what's happening with tongues when we speak in tongues is we're edifying ourselves. And as I've already said, the Bible's very clear for the purpose of the gifts. We saw in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, that you may be encouraged, edified. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's the purpose. You don't see any place where it says, love yourself better. Take your gift and edify yourself. What Paul is saying is that you're doing exactly what you're not supposed to be doing. You're sitting there and you're speaking in the tongue and it's just stating the obvious. You're sinning. You're being selfish. You're not putting other people first. All you're doing is thinking about yourself. You're only edifying yourself when you speak in tongues. And that's all he's saying. To sit there and to think that he's saying, oh, well, I want you to edify yourself and so speak in tongues, I think is contrary to the rest of Scripture. Can you imagine if someone had the gift of giving? And they sat there and they said, oh, you know, the Lord has blessed me with the gift of giving, and boy, do I reap the benefits. Whew, I give to myself daily. Are you serious? Oh, boy, I have the gift of hospitality, and boy, am I encouraged daily. I encourage myself daily. What a gift. Thank you, Lord. What about the gift of singing? If I have the gift of singing, I'm singing in private. How does that benefit anyone else? There is no other gift. It's erroneous. My boys smile because that's one of their words. It's erroneous. If anyone said to you that I have received this gift, this is my gift, and God has given me this gift to edify myself, and any other gift just as I've used, we would sit there and laugh. We would sit there and say, how ridiculous. Why is it any different for the gift of tongues? Why do people only take the gift of tongues and sit there and say, oh, well, no, this gift, it says it right here. Purpose of the gift of tongue is to edify myself. It's ridiculous. The purpose of gifts is for the edification of the church. And in this verse, Paul makes it clear that those who speak in a tongue are only building up themselves. And they're building themselves up wrong. They're building themselves up in the sense that if I was to replace the word build up, I would replace it with the word pride. All they were doing was being prideful with their gift. That's not the purpose. Look at verse 5. I wish all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with a tongue or speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. I believe Paul is using a hyperbole. I think he's exaggerating again. He did this before when in 1 Corinthians he says, I wish you could all be single and never get married. It's not what God's intention is. That's not a gift. That's a gift, but not a gift that everybody's supposed to have. It's a hyperbole. He's exaggerating. He knows it's impossible. Paul's known for this. I mean, just think about this. Take a walk down this little path with me, if you will. Romans chapter 9. And he says, I have such love for my countrymen, I would suffer damnation for my countrymen. I would spend eternity in hell so that all my countrymen would go to heaven. It's a hyperbole. It's an exaggeration. He's telling them how much he loves them. He does it a lot. He knows that it's impossible for everyone to have the same gift. A matter of fact, we've already talked about the subject of everyone having the same gift. If everyone was an eye, where would the body be? If everyone was a hand, where would the body be? It wouldn't function. If everyone was one part of the body, we wouldn't exist, just put it in human terms. So we already know that Paul understands that it's impossible. So I just think that he's saying, you know, I wish you all spoke in tongues, in the sense that he's saying, you know, if this was to settle the matter, if this was just to clear up the thing and you understood what the purpose of gifts were and you were to use them right for the right purpose that God gave you the gift, I wish you all spoke in tongues. But I think that he also says it for the emphasis that he says next. But more importantly, I wish you all prophesied. Because true edification comes from prophecy, from the proclaiming of God's special revelation. That's how we are edified. We are edified because of God's word. So he emphasizes that prophecy is greater, and if anyone is going to be zealous about a gift, let them be zealous for prophecy. Those who were speaking in a tongue, no one understood, but those who prophesied, proclaimed God's word, edified the whole church. One of the things that I would love to see, not only in our church, but in every single church in the United States, is that when we got together, we were getting together and talking about the word of God. And that we wouldn't just paraphrase the word of God, but we would say, hey, do you know that in chapter 6, God says this? In chapter 5 of Romans, he says this. In John 3:16, he says this. That we would study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That when we spoke accurately. When we come together, you know, there is nothing like getting together with fellow believers who just love the word of God, who just love God. And we just get together and we talk and we talk and we talk. And I don't need to speak in tongues to have the emotional high. Because when I speak about the word of God with another person who wants to speak about the word of God, I am on an emotional high. I'm on a knowledgeable emotional high because we're accurately talking about the word of God. And there's enough truth in here that is plainly written for us to understand so that we can accurately or emotionally be stimulated. We don't need to have some false sense of emotional stimulation. We have the word of God. We don't need that stuff. Romans, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For what purpose? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God is all we need. This is all the stimulation we need. And that's the prophecy. And prophesying edifies the whole church. It's so important that when we speak, we let our speech be known. Let's not let it be a bunch of babble. Let it not be a bunch of wasted time. Not that other conversations aren't profitable. We need to talk about some of the things that we're struggling with. We need to have those conversations. But I'll tell you what, if we focus more on the Word of God, those troubles would go away. I put up a thing in the back with Voice of the Martyrs, and these people are facing trials like you wouldn't believe. I heard one time one person said, if our trials and our tribulations were greater, all the little things wouldn't seem so bad. And there's some truth to that. If we were facing the trials and tribulations that were going on, a lot of where our focus is wouldn't be where it is. Because we would just rejoice in the fact that we could get the church and see our brothers and sisters in Christ and talk about how God has been working in their lives. We need that. Let us get together, and when we do get together, talk about Christ and his church. Let us talk about the coming judgment to come and the imminent return of Jesus Christ, that he can return at any time. And are we busy doing the Lord's work with the gifts that he has given us for the purpose of edification? Let's pray.